So we'll call today's meeting to order at 9:37. And then I'll just open the floor. We're just beginning with an informal discussion while we wait for the chair.
Well, I'm the vice chair of the RRA.
Thank you.
And our contract, and forgive me if I'm
telling you. Oh, actually, let's do that.
I'm Jim Gordon. I'm the vice chair of the Resource Recovery Agency. And our contract with the county expires, probably know this, in March.
Just pause a minute. Let's everybody introduce.
Yeah, okay, great.
So March Gallagher, County Comptroller.
Manager Green. What, two of us?
Me? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Ms. Vetbois, I'm the clerk for this committee.
Manager Green, and I am representing the Ulster County Legislature on the committee, and you guys know my background.
Good morning. I'm John Petronella. I'm the Assistant Regional Director, formerly in permits for many years, Regional Permit Administrator.
Dave Pollock, Regional Engineer, and I have been the Materials Management person for many years. I'm in.
And is there a fractional interest there?
Yes. And I'm Kelly Fritura. I'm the Regional Director for DEC's Hudson Valley Office.
Oh, nice. I'm Laura Petit, and I have over 31 years of solid waste under my belt.
Mark Ryder, Clinical Director of the Resource Recovery Agency.
I'm Tracy Bartels. I'm the chair. I'm the former chair of the legislature and the chair's representative to the committee.
I'm Amanda LaValle. I'm the deputy county executive, and I'm the county executive's designated for the committee.
Okay, back to you.
Well, so as I was saying, I'm the longest serving member of the RRA, and I've only been there about 2.5 years. So things were not going all that well, and then they got worse. And so we came together as a committee, and we're going to work more collaboratively. And so I'm very pleased that you're here, because we need a lot of help in how the Resource Recovery Agency and the county are going to move forward. Because the challenge isn't, till now, as you all know, we've just been sending our garbage away. We're not going to be able to do that anymore. So we're trying to find a path forward. And so thank you for your help today. And anyone else who has, you know, comments? And by the way, we were lucky enough to recently hire Mark, as you know. And we're very, as I can speak for the RRA, we're really happy we did.
We should throw you a parade.
Apologies. It's okay. We just introduced ourselves.
Good.
We haven't really missed anything.
Good. The wrong day to leave 5 minutes late. Well, good morning, everybody. Apologies for tardiness. Apparently, everybody's introduced. For those who don't know me, Mike Baden. I'm the chair of the county planning board and was the former supervisor of town of Rochester. I think I've dealt with all of you at one point or another in that capacity. So, the reason we asked you to be here today is to help us understand what it takes to site a new facility in New York State in current time. And there's a lot of speculation and time frames and requirements, and we figured who better than to have the people who do the siting to come talk to us. So with that, let me, does the committee want to let them speak with us, and then we ask questions? Yeah. Do you have specific? Okay, so if you guys would just sort of give us an introduction, and then we'll build from there with questions.
Thanks, Mike. Kelly Turturro, we've talked a lot by phone.
Yes.
Nice to see you, and thank you very much for having us here. I think it's based on my conversation with Mike, we appreciate the opportunity to talk about our process so that as you consider options, you know what the process would be from the DEC jurisdictional perspective. So what I've done is I've asked Dave Pollack and John Petronella, who both have many, many years of experience in both our permitting process as well as our solid waste management regulations, to join us here today to go through that process. So perhaps, Dave, you can start with the solid waste management regulations. It's part 360, so if you hear us saying 360, that's what Dave is referring to. And then John can jump in from a SECR perspective, the State Environmental Quality Review Act, as well as our Uniform Procedures Act, which really is the regulation that guides the process of permitting. And then certainly, as they're talking, after they're talking, open to questions at any point in time so that we can be most informative to you. So, Dave, can you start with 360?
Sure. I guess one of the questions I have, though, is you're just in general 360? Just because it seems like you're looking at many options. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I can. I don't want to speak for the whole committee, but I sort of feel like we, you know, there's a general idea of siting a landfill. There are other options that are kind of on the table, so we're kind of open to hear about any and all solutions. I think the landfill idea is probably the more forefront idea, but I don't want to speak for the rest of the committee. I know there's other ideas that have been put out there, and yeah.
From our perspective in the RRA, we want to maximize diversion and minimize our landfill use. And we've right. spoken about a hub and spoke system where we have a centralized system where we bring, you know, the RIC, the Resource Innovation Center, and still using the town transfer stations as the spokes, so that we're hoping to have a decentralized system with a centralized place where, you know, we can coordinate things. And then after maximizing our diversion, then we will landfill what's left, perhaps. But we need to hear what's possible and what's not. We haven't finalized our decisions, and I know there are other technologies that may prove useful.
Okay, so eventually the processes all become the same, but since you're mentioning landfills, I'll touch on that a little bit before we get into the other part. In general, you know, the whoever the permitting agency is going to have to be, if you're seeking a landfill, you're obviously going to have to find some property that's available, and that property is going to have to meet, all our facilities have certain siting restrictions that you can't, you know, construct one in those certain conditions, and those general prohibitions are in 360.8. But when it comes to a landfill, there's a lot more siting requirements, and those can be found under 363-5. And I think the important thing on that is you would have to find a piece of land. You'd have to determine what minimum size you would need for a landfill and its buffer, whatever you thought was appropriate for a buffer, and then go out and try to find several pieces of land or one piece of land. And then you'd have to go through these siting requirements to determine whether or not your least initial field screening to determine if it was even a feasible site. And at some point when you think you have a few feasible sites, then we would get to where kind of all our processes go, which is we'd say we'd recommend a pre-application conference. One of the unique features of a landfill, in addition to the normal design and submittal requirements, is you'd have to do a site investigation to determine whether or not, in fact, the site is feasible to be a landfill. And that's a pretty in-depth process, and at that point, we'd also be discussing that with you as part of the pre-app process. And that would have to be done really before you could design a landfill. Once you, and again, these are all gonna be the same at this point, once you come in for pre-app conference, we'd explain the particular direction you would go. You'd need to submit, you know, design documents and to 360. Were there any other permits required based on the site you selected? You know, whether it be freshwater wetlands or other permits. And we would start at that point. You would hopefully have had you have needed a consultant before that anyway, and that consultant would be at the meeting, and we could have a discussion on the details we were looking for. And then we go through the process, which really turns over to the secret EPA stuff, right?
Yeah. Maybe what are some of the high level siting restrictions, just so you guys can kind of get a sense
where
to maybe start?
Certainly. So, again, 363-5, in regarding to the certain siting requirements, some of those items would require we would need to know depth of bedrock. We'd need to know, you know, does the site have 10 feet of unconsolidated deposits? Agricultural land is prohibited. Eminent domain is now prohibited. Put over a primary principal aquifer.
Can I interrupt and ask, when you say eminent, not that when you say eminent domain is prohibited now, what changed? What happened that prohibited it?
It was change in regulations.
It was just change within this regulation.
It was added in regulations.
Mm-hmm. And when was that?
Yeah, when was that?
I think it was the 2017 regs.
That's interesting.
When you say agricultural land, are you talking about land that is in agriculture or land that has the potential to be in agriculture?
Well,
like prime soils, I guess is what.
Yeah, that's really what it is I'm looking at now. Agricultural district, more than 50% of soil groups 1 and 2.
Okay.
That's what
that helps, to. Yeah.
Does
that
it
just
have to
helps
be both?
Understand.
Or is it
it has to, you have to you if you know, our read is you would have to meet all the criteria.
No, I mean, does it have to be in an agricultural district and have those soils, or if it's not in an agricultural district and it happens to have the soils, is that okay?
It appears that would be okay.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick general question that I've heard this commission bring up several times? And I think they were waiting for you all. Is there any difference whether you build a small landfill or a large landfill when it comes to site requirements?
Only in the fact that it's the same requirements.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just come up a couple times in these meetings, and
yeah,
so
it's the same process.
It's the exact same process whether you build small or
Just to build on.
Oh, please.
I think the difference is in potentially in acceptability. So if we are able to maximize waste diversion and can demonstrate that, I think that in terms of how long it would take, and I think this is a big question because of Seneca Meadows possibly closing and our interest in local self-reliance. So I do think that one of the things, and I don't know if you can advise because it's not statutory, but my hope is that Ulster County will demonstrate how to do it well, how to do it right. And that didn't happen 30 years ago. 30 years ago, there was a lot of political interference and, you know, the whole thing with Winston Farm and the others. But I think if the contractor is really reliable and does a very thorough job with the agency going through this process, that there is a real benefit to maximizing waste diversion, less trucks, all the odorous things can be taken out, and the toxics can be taken out. So I just want to reinforce that I see this as an opportunity, but the question I'm kind of addressing is, does that make sense in terms of time and acceptability? I don't know.
I can get into
Okay. Kind
of general timing, general timing discussion, but there's going to be a lot of variables in that. But do we want to?
Yeah, I think we'd like to hear more of the restrictions.
Yeah.
And apologies. I think it just, I think as questions come up,
Yeah. It
might be good to ask them because then it just moves on. But yeah, any more restrictions would be great.
I think it's very.
Sorry, can I just address one last point? I think to your point that could be somewhat outside of the DEC process, and most notably perhaps through the seeker process, and I think what we see, especially as we go through difficult permit applications, it's about education and it's about messaging in the community. So the more that you can educate the community on your goals and what you're trying to do, the easier it is for the community to understand what the long-term goal is. And as you all full well know, you're not everybody's gonna agree. But if you can message and educate, I think that's helpful for everybody.
Yeah, I was just gonna add,
Just so those that don't know, Sullivan County is the last landfill that attempted to get a permit, so.
And when was that?
Maybe 05, 06, something like that. I don't remember the process changed, because we had two right in a row with them, so the expansion.
When you say attempted?
Well, I mean, they went through the hearing process and it never, the permit was never issued.
Was that for the expansion?
Yeah, I was just gonna ask, because they had a landfill.
It was for a large expansion, yes.
Was Orange County the last one, actually? I mean, I know it's not being used, but permitted inside.
No.
No, there's been
Sullivan
others.
Was
Sullivan.
I mean, other than Sullivan, though, like, because that went all the way through the permit process, right? Orange County, then they just decided not to use it, but it was fully approved, correct?
It was fully approved and partially constructed.
Really?
Orange County. Yeah.
When you
it's
say the
still
last
there, you can see.
In the region, can you talk about the last in the state? When was the last siting approval and actual functioning landfill created in the state of New York?
I don't know the answer to that.
It would be super helpful if you guys could get us that information. Maybe even the last two, because we
that
might want
to.
I think it was. But to be confirmed,
yeah.
Region 6, Oneida Herkimer.
Okay.
Yeah. What about Seneca Meadows? Didn't they just go through?
No,
they're going through an expansion.
New siting versus
new siting, yeah.
I think that's an important distinction.
You're looking for when the last two new landfill sightings in
your
state.
Whatever you can give us on that would be great, because we could look at their process and maybe learn something from
that would be.
Okay.
Very good website, tons of documentation for Oneida Herkimer. I think what I was hearing was two different questions.
Yeah.
The last one in the state and also the last one in the region.
Yeah.
I think that's what we were trying to, new siting.
We can get that.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, new siting in region, Sullivan County, 1992, thereabouts, for the first expansion or new landfill.
And you want the landfills that are actually, they were permitted and are actually up and running?
If possible.
Okay.
And does that cover all waste facilities, or have other types of waste facilities been approved? Incinerators or whatever?
There's been anaerobic digestion approved since then. Incinerator, no, the last burn plant, I believe, was Smithtown back in about 1992, it was built.
And the anaerobic digestion, can you tell us where that is and when that was? If you don't have it,
I don't know offhand. It's Western New York somewhere.
Sorry?
Oneida Herkimer is just recently up and running, right? I mean, so they're probably one of the more.
Outside of Buffalo, too.
Yeah, any information
outside
on
of Buffalo.
If I may, any information on anything that is around the state that is like a recent facility, you know, within, say, the last 5 years, may give us hints on things that other people have found that works and ways to permit them. So it would be very helpful information.
Yeah, maybe even the last 10, because I think 5 maybe.
I mean, if it's easy at your fingertips, otherwise I can try to get my staff to dig through a bit.
If it's in the state, we can get it easily from our counterparts.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe, Mark, if we send it through you, and then you could distribute, would that be easy? Because then you would have it as well, and we could distribute it to the RRA and the commission.
Whatever Mike wants to do.
Yeah, whatever's easiest. I mean, Kelly, you have my email if you want to send it to me, and I'll share it.
I'll get it through this commission.
Okay,
anyway.
Yeah, Mark is on our email.
Right, okay, great.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so just to touch on some of the other siting requirements, can't be on a primary principal aquifer, or it can't impact that aquifer, horizontal separation. Aircraft safety, you have to be a certain distance away from airports. Unstable areas, so karst terrain, obviously an issue. As an example, we have seismic requirements. Monitorability is key. Right, that kind of touches on the karst issue, but it can be other things. We have to be able to determine if there's a leak. And basically, like, obviously wetlands, and there is some restrictions on distance to residents and schools. It's 1,000 feet, and it's not necessarily the 1,000 feet from where the waste is, not the property line. And it may be, dependent on the school or the house, it may be the actual structure, or maybe the immediate yard or the playground.
Can I ask, is there a distinction between the school and the house, or just
yeah, there actually
the
is.
The house
there's school? Actually a distinction on where the point of the 1,000 feet goes when it hits the property. So the school is the rec area, and with the house, it says. Let me just look at it real quick. schools and residents.
That's all in the 363.5?
Yeah, when we circulate this other information, we'll give you the citations. And
great,
you can
appreciate it,
search. It might help with the note-taking.
Yeah, and this may be something we want to include in our appendices.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And in that case, the residents, it's the residents and the managed landscape.
Okay.
So it would be the yard if they were mowing it.
And a question on the wetlands, is that a hard and fast in terms of proximity to wetlands or impact to wetlands, or is there the ability to mitigate wetlands as in other developments? Like, could you address that through mitigation?
It's a possibility, but when we do historically, when we do landfills, we try to find a way to minimize any impact to the wetland.
Okay. It makes sense, but just...
Yeah, I mean, I remember Sullivan County had to redesign theirs to avoid most of the wetland.
But knowing you can have, you know, you could have an otherwise potentially perfect site with a small incursion.
Correct.
Just knowing that maybe if you could mitigate that small incursion, it might be the best option.
Yeah, just because I touched the permitting process for Oneida Herkimer, there was a state wetlands impact. So they did fill, you know, and got a permit from DEC and mitigation.
Okay, so that's why I just wanted to make sure that it
was, you know, Region 6.
What about existing landfills?
You laugh.
I'll just say this is Region 3.
Right, it's Region 6. So it was.
Region 3, I think Sullivan County, we let them do a really tiny finger. The rest of it, they had to move back, they had to redesign.
Okay.
But that's a long time ago.
Do the floodplain restrictions in general carry over, I'm assuming?
Yes. So flooding, yes. Yeah. So the original siting is also floodplain. Special flood area restrictions.
Okay.
What is the restriction from an aquifer? I mean, how is there a...
Well, you can't be over it. There's a horizontal requirement. I admit I haven't looked at these in a long time. Looks like minimum distance is 500 to surface waters and used as sources of municipal drinking water. But it is all spelled out.
500 feet.
That was to surface water, drinking water.
Okay.
Surface drinking water?
And just for, I believe that this was the lens that was used for the HydroQuest.
Right.
You know, as a first, a hydrogeologic screening.
Right.
Was used for that study, so it was part
of the study.
Yeah.
Is there any requirement of being near major roadways or infrastructure or anything like that, or is that not...
It's the airport's the biggest concern.
Yeah. But in terms of, as a positive, you know, being close to a state road or a county road, there's no requirements for anything like that in the regs.
Okay. And I think Seeker would.
That's
what get covered with.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just.
Is it the airport? Just out of curiosity, does it have to do with vectors?
Birds.
Yeah, birds.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's do you have at ECX? What's the distance to an airport?
It depends on the size of the airport. So. Saying landfill just will weigh no more than closer than 10,000 feet.
So that's significant.
Yeah, but again, you got to go through it. It's based on turbine. It's based on jet. So I mean, it's like four
right.
separate sections here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about existing landfills? Is that something
it's a
that we should stay away from?
If you were to pursue an existing landfill, you would have to make sure they were separately monitorable. That's going to be the biggest thing. How are you going to make sure you can monitor both independently?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest factor.
So there is no remediation. I mean, you couldn't go in. You can like
excavate.
Fully remediate.
You could certainly seek approval to do that. Sure.
Yeah.
You
okay.
could excavate out a landfill and go through it. It's a different permit.
Got it.
Has anyone done that you're aware of? Statewide.
Up north removed one many, many years ago in the 90s. They actually removed the entire landfill. Might have been Franklin County, but I'm not sure about that.
What about other like Superfund sites? Is that the same thing? You could remediate. Yep.
Yeah, you could, yes. I mean, Superfund's going to be a lot harder. Superfund's going to be a lot harder because of the hazardous waste.
A lot more expensive is what you mean.
Well, the process would be different, too. It's a totally, it's not a 360
right.
process.
Right, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
it's a whole different
right. parties. And
yeah, and there is a height restriction for airports, too, so when you read through there, you find that.
I have a little bit of an off-the-wall question, but we have been talking about it. Are there rigs for a monofill at a landfill? For example, there's so much plastic that is not getting recycled, but maybe could be in the future. And if we separated that and put it into a double-lined space, has that come up at all?
Certainly monofills have, but not in relation to plastic that I'm aware of. But there's always a potential to mine these landfills for materials like the older landfills. They like to try to mine for metal. Florida mm-hmm. has done that, certainly.
And relative to that, I believe that Delaware, I don't know if they still do it, but does landfill mining where they excavate a cell, take out the metals, do what they can, and then have space.
I'm not sure if they're still doing that because that was really related to the old landfill.
Okay.
But right now, any waste that goes into their landfill is bulky waste. There should be no metals going in there. It's basically couch, you know, the bigger stuff. So I don't know if they're continuing to mine or not out there.
Okay. Thank you.
It sounds to me that it's something you would consider if we were able to find to do it correctly.
There is provisions to allow you to go in and mine a landfill out, sure.
And then can we refill it? And then could we use that site again?
Again, you would have to demonstrate you could monitor the site because remember, there's likely existing contamination at one of these landfills.
I mean, 30 years ago, one of the board members had a plan to go in basically redo all of the current town, like when they were going to close, they were going to remediate them, open up some cells, use it as the countywide landfill, and then cap it. But that was a long time
ago. I can tell you Town of Ulster Landfill, a section of it was removed in order to put the road.
Put the road
right.
in.
Yeah.
Mm. But unfortunately, many of those were sited to fill in wetlands back then to make land and weren't lined. So it would be great to remediate them, but not to reuse them, even with a liner. It would not qualify anymore.
It may not qualify, you're correct.
Yeah.
And any reuse would require a liner. So that's
oh, yeah, of course.
Huge excavation project.
Are there other types of permitting that you can talk about as in addition to landfill? I mean, obviously, we've all sort of focused on the idea of a landfill or a monofill, but the anaerobic or any of the other ideas, can you talk about is there a different permitting process for them, or is it all the same?
It's a different set of the regulations, but the process, once you get to the pre-app, and other than the subsurface investigation, is pretty much the same
process.
It's the
same, okay.
Right. You submit your design and show, you know, demonstrate compliance that you can comply with 360 on the 360 side of things.
Okay. And the prohibitions are probably similar
same.
As well?
Well, the generic prohibitions I listed at the beginning.
Okay.
The wetlands, the floodplain.
Okay.
And those endangered species, there's citing prohibitions there
right.
for that stuff.
And then you also look at air emissions and other things, right? That
landfill
and
some of these others may have to deal with CLCPA, absolutely.
Right.
And
yeah.
Title V.
Even a landfill would have to deal with.
With a title, usually, right?
Well, if it's going to be big enough, eventually you might need a Title V, but at least the LCPA would be looked at.
And just so, you know, there are these, you know, additional, it sounds like, you know, land use and kind of the hydrogeologic suitability, right? So that's kind of your, seems like the first screening lens, right? And then would have a site or two, then you would go into the seeker process. It would certainly be a type one action, so you would certainly be doing a full environmental impact statement with public scoping and all of the input and timelines that are involved in that, right? And then you would also have to do alternative, right, for siting. So you would need some of those other sites that maybe weren't your preferred site.
As part of the secret process now.
Or alternative technology.
They took the siting requirements out, siting processes out of the regs. So from 360, you no longer have to go through the whole siting process for us, but for seeker you would. But I want to clarify something. You eventually would want to do enough analysis to determine what site you wanted to pursue. You wouldn't want to pursue two sites.
Yeah.
Because you do some initial investigation, or maybe you have to do investigation on multiple sites to see which one qualifies, but eventually you want to get to that one site.
Is it I'm sorry, go ahead.
How early in the process would you suggest going into a pre-application conference? Like, I mean, I'll just say the agency has a consultant right now who's identifying sites for feasibility. Is it too early in the process when they turn over a report if there's like five sites, or would it make sense to engage the agency at that point?
We could, I would suggest that if you have five sites, we could take a look at them and say, I see some red flags right off the bat. We've got threatened endangered species here. So, I mean, we can speak to each other before we have an official pre-application meeting. We're more than happy to look at, hey, we've got these five sites in mind. What do you think, DEC? And we can say.
You can at least cross them off. I mean, if they're just not feasible,
some,
like our consultants miss something.
Some potentially could be crossed off. Some we could say, you're in an EJ community or a disadvantaged community. That's something you have to take into consideration. It may, you know, some things may make, even if you meet all the regulations, there's going to be certain things that may make it tougher to get through the seeker process and make it more palatable to the community.
And I would say before you go into a hydrogeologic investigation, we want to talk to us, because we want to make sure you're doing it in accordance with the regs. Right? There's a whole section here on that. We want to make sure your wells are placed right. We want to make sure the right couplets, all that stuff. So you could do that. You know, you could come in for a pre-app once you have a few, you know, you do what John said. Once you have a couple sites you want to do a further investigation on, it may pay to talk to us at that point. But certainly before you start doing investigation, the big investigation.
Can I just ask a technical question, just because I was able to pull up that section? The issue with eminent domain is under agricultural land. Is it specific to agricultural land? Because it's a subcategory of agricultural land.
Yeah, I actually don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I'm
not going down an eminent domain road, but I just want us to know what's prohibited, and because it's in that specific section, maybe we could get clarification on that too.
Some of these sites might be 40 parcels, and if you had 39 or 38
that's why, right.
And
again, since it's a subcategory of the agricultural category in the regulation,
right.
As defined,
yes.
I would just like to understand if, in an instance like that, if you know the 39th parcel is it's worth knowing if it's not even an option.
Is the review process done regionally, or is it done through the state DEC?
It's a regional.
It's a regional. Okay. That's helpful, because that's, you know, you're dealing with people that you're sort of used to dealing with, and there's a familiarity of sites, and you know, I can see, you know, if somebody from Buffalo was looking at a site in Ulster County,
well,
they may not be as familiar with the property and the land. And
That could happen in the sense that, like, you know, if we have people out in Western New York that have been doing the seismic analysis and we haven't done one here since 2005, yeah, we're probably going to tap into our technical experts.
But the ultimate permit is coming from the region,
yes.
Not from, okay. That's kind of where my question was.
We are all one agency.
Understood. Understood.
We're run out of our Albany office. Our commissioner sits in our Albany office, and we have a team of experts in Albany that look at what we do as an agency statewide so
okay.
that we all can benefit from that expertise. So while the team that you would be working with on a regular basis is located in the region,
mm-hmm.
We know this area. Most of our staff live in this area. We do rely on the rest of the agency central office or experts in other regions to
yeah.
assist us with the process.
Yeah, the question was more
yeah,
deal with knowledge.
The region is on its own making determinations.
No, I just meant in terms of familiarity and knowledge.
But is there a proviso where the, just for lack of a better term, the higher ups can say, can overrule you folks one way or the other? Like they can say, well, no, we disagree. You know, is there an appeal process, I suppose? By if we get an approval from you, can someone say, no, we don't like that, and we're going to appeal it to the commissioner?
So well, that would be an Article 78, basically.
I wonder if before it even went to an Article 78, there was just something that could happen with the DEC.
So we would need to take a couple steps back, because through our permitting process, we have ways in which under our permitting regulations people can apply to be interveners. Those interveners, if they're accepted by the administrative law judge, can have a seat at the table. So how that happens is as DEC is going through a permit process, we get to a point with the applicant where we say, okay, we have all the information we need that the regulations require to call the application complete. That then kicks off the public comment period. Through that public comment period, if DEC determines that there are substantive comments raised by any member of the public, we can say that a hearing should take place. And what we call it is an issues conference. That would be the first step in the hearing mm-hmm. process. So a DEC administrative law judge would then be involved in the process. That's where interveners can come into play. All the issues are laid out. The ALJ determines if one or several of the issues have to go to through an adjudicatory hearing process. That is when the commissioner can step in. After that process, the commissioner ultimately has to make a decision. Once the agency makes the decision through the commissioner, anybody can bring a lawsuit, Article 78, and then that goes through the court process.
Okay.
Prior to that, if as a region we're working and we issue a permit, any permit, we make that decision on behalf of the agency, anybody can then step in with an Article 78 and challenge our issuance or denial. I mean, we might deny the permit. That's a final agency action, and somebody can step in and file an Article 78.
Is there an opportunity for interveners, well, not yet formally recognized as interveners, to challenge whether or not the application is complete before an application is even deemed complete? I mean, listen, we know right now, I can tell you right now, this is going to be incredibly controversial no matter what we do, and we are going to see opposition at every stage. So what is the opportunity for challenging completion?
So don't hold me to this because I will check with our regional attorney, but my recollection of case law is that a notice of complete application is not a final agency action and therefore is not ripe for an Article 78.
Okay.
Now, could somebody try and file one? Certainly.
Okay.
But I believe that courts have found in the past that it's not a final agency.
That's my familiarity with the case law, and I've studied it pretty clearly on other topics, but in terms
okay.
of completion, it's not a final action. So you can't file the Article 78 until there's
only
a final action.
I will say with the landfills we've had in the past too, we've usually had several legislative type hearings where whoever the permittee would be coming and we would also be present and they'd make a presentation to the public and listen to comments.
Public comment period. This is actually, I think, an also a good opportunity to transition
sure.
to SEAKER if you wanted to talk a
sure.
little bit about SEAKER.
Sure, just another two components, kind of higher level. When you're look, they're not listed in regs for siting, but Ulster County, much of northwestern Ulster County, is New York City DEP watershed. We don't have any prohibitions, but obviously it would probably be a tough hill to climb putting. Another matter that should be looked at closely when you're looking at sites are environmental justice communities and disadvantaged communities. They're both listed on our DEC info locator if you want to go on and see where they are. Disadvantaged communities come into play through the permitting process with CLCPA, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. If there was to be a site that was in or could impact a disadvantaged community, there would be additional analyses done on that disadvantaged communities related to greenhouse gases and co-pollutants. Co-pollutants can even be from mobile sources such as trucks going to and from the site. So that's...
Can I ask a question on that? So I understand the requirement for the additional analyses, but does it, depending on the outcome, is it a hard and fast prohibition, or
no,
can that be mitigated as well?
It's not a prohibition. It's an analysis has to be done before the department, before any state agency can make a decision on a permit.
John, when you...
I guess my question then is, go ahead. Based on the outcome of the analysis, could the applicant propose, I guess, mitigation to both address the potential analysis and also to address potential, to acknowledge the impact to the community through host benefits and other, or
that
some
all,
unconventional
that
way
be,
of...
That can all be considered in the analysis. And the document that I would refer you to is DEP 24-1, and it gets into the analyses that's required, and there is opportunities to look at mitigation on impacts to that disadvantaged community.
Okay.
John, and just, I'm not as familiar with the designation of these as I should be. Is it...
Well, it's brand new, so don't worry.
Is it municipality boundaries, or is community, can that be just a section of a community, like a census block, or I guess, what is the defining boundaries of those two definitions?
So disadvantaged communities go beyond EJ communities, which are based predominantly on census tracts.
Okay.
Disadvantaged communities look at both environmental burdens on a community, health burdens on a community. There's a lot of criteria that goes into selecting a disadvantaged community.
Right. But it doesn't make it, if a little piece of one town is considered a disadvantaged community, it doesn't make the entire town.
Correct.
Okay.
No.
That's what I was trying to wrap my head around. I didn't know what the boundaries were.
No, just because there's a disadvantaged community in a municipality,
so it's pretty
doesn't
much
make the whole municipality.
Census block level is how it's bounded.
It does go beyond census, but it's
okay.
Not the entire municipality.
Okay.
You can easily go on DEC info locator and kind of click on the layer and get a sense of of where they are. And again, it's not a prohibition, but there'll be more work involved. There'll be more analysis involved.
Okay.
And there's
also I can do some offline.
Locating a landfill.
Not as familiar with
Kingston, Ellenville, New Paltz is what I'm aware of.
There's a large Ellenville, Worsing.
There's a Sopus. There's a Port Ewing.
There's a variety of different factors that came into play when the disadvantaged communities were established. I mean, an example is cell service. If there isn't good cell service in the community, that gives a community more points to being a disadvantaged community. So as John said,
there's a variety of factors
that come into play.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
And we have quite a few in Ulster County.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So I'll leave that with
I have a couple questions. One is about involved agencies. Presumably, UCCR is going to go through the process and file the application.
Are there other automatically involved agencies, the municipality, the county? Can you address that a little
well,
bit?
Well, so the department is definitely an involved agency because we have a jurisdiction. I think a lot will depend on site, exactly where the site is located before anyone can determine what jurisdiction they would have and subsequently who would be an involved agency.
Okay.
But generally it is municipal entities that have a permitting jurisdiction.
Got
it. Say that generally?
Yes. Yeah, typically any municipality is going to have site plan approval, maybe zoning changes. But yeah, typically any municipality is going to have some level of jurisdiction.
And I imagine there'd be a ton of interested agencies.
And yeah. So, bear with me because I've been making a couple notes of other questions. CLCPA, does that affect, right now I'm asking, well, let me ask generally, landfill siting, emissions from incineration, are there since CLCPA was passed, has that affected siting for solid waste facilities directly? Is there a way of saying this changed because of CLCPA?
I don't know that it's come into play with any siting because
I don't know that we're there.
But we're definitely the department's definitely using CLCPA with existing facilities that go through a renewal process where we're making, you know, for example, a Wheelabrator or a Duchess, they would have to go through a CLCPA analysis to attempt to reduce greenhouse gas, co-pollutants. How are they impacting that community?
And just for the record, it's Climate Leadership Community Protection Act.
CLCPA, yeah.
Yeah. And let's see. Combining CPA and landfill, is methane capture required, or do you think it would be required because of CLCPA?
Well,
we're going to have to, I think we would have to get back to you on that question. I would want our AIR team to weigh in on that.
Yeah, well, we can say that you have to manage the methane, you have to manage landfill gas.
Yes.
And that's so, 360 even. How that's managed is yet to be determined from a 360 side. And then AIR, you know, comes to Title V, comes into play,
yeah,
all kinds of things.
So typically nowadays it would be captured and burned off is how it has been handled. Yeah?
Not all landfills, no. I mean, the new, more modern ones, I'd say that's fair to say, but I mean, a lot of landfills are just venting at this point in time.
Still venting. Okay, thank you.
Well, your own landfills are venting, the agencies.
I'm venting for Ulster fires.
So just a couple other items. We did touch upon SEAKER. I think someone mentioned it's most likely going to be a type 1 action. There's going to be a need for a coordinated review, establishment of a lead agency. I would just venture to guess anything's going to be a POSDEC with a DEIS, public scoping. Want to go through all that.
I'm sure it's likely the DEC would be the lead agency as well. I can't imagine that the commissioner would, even if somebody challenged, would say anybody else was lead agency.
Again, I think it's going to come down to a site-specific when all involved agencies can be established and an appropriate lead agency could then be identified, I think, to make predeterminations on who would be most appropriate before knowing that we're not there yet.
Okay.
So SEAKER is also tied into our Uniform Procedures Act, so we would not be able to call the Part 360 or whatever other applications that may be triggered. We wouldn't be able to call them complete until SEAKER is satisfied, meaning there's an accepted DEIS. So we wouldn't be able to get to that complete process until there's an accepted DEIS.
Accepted draft, not a, so
accepted
not
draft.
Calling it final.
Yeah, so you could have an accepted draft go out with an accepted DEIS and complete application so the public can look at both a DEIS and DEC complete applications.
I'd say it's important with a bigger project, though, that the more detailed the 360, I mean, completeness is, you know, it needs to be pretty detailed, because otherwise people aren't going to understand
right.
what you're presenting.
And then along with our UPA process, there's the opportunity, as Kelly mentioned, for public hearings, whether it's a legislative or issues to adjudicatory.
And obviously, you know, there is not a recent comparison, but and I'm certainly not trying to pin you guys down at all, but what would a reasonable time frame do you think? And I mean, are we, people have said 10 years, and I realize that's just a made-up number by people, but it may be...
I refute yeah. that. That's not a made-up number.
Okay.
But
I guess my question is, could it be done in 5 or 6? Is it, in this day and age, is it going to take 15 no matter what? I mean, I'm just looking for a big ballpark number.
I would say, unless you wanted to...
I'm one of the 10-year people too, Amanda. So.
I was going to say from a DEC technical perspective, yes, we could do that. But once you hinge it to seeker...
And the political.
Then there's variables that are out of the department's control.
Understood.
What did you say the department, the minimum you thought the department...
Well, I don't know. I don't know that there's a minimum. I guess I'm saying that from a hypothetical perspective, and again, we don't know what
yeah.
size,
yeah.
where it is.
Yeah.
What other permit jurisdictions we
yeah.
might have.
Right.
It's
right.
really hard to give a time frame.
Understood.
Because there's so many unknowns. What did Sullivan County take? I mean, I think that's probably the information
Whoa.
We can share is what has happened in the past
right.
to give you a sense of the process
right.
and the time frame and the process.
Well, and I think the part of the problem with Sullivan County, though, it's important why you should talk to them, is they, you know, didn't, it comes down to you guys have to give us an acceptable application.
Right.
And Sullivan
mm-hmm.
County's major expansion, we were opposed to several of the components until such time as they addressed them. So it was years. I don't remember the time frame at this point, but until the county finally met all our objections, you know, it was dragging out.
Is that public info? Are you able to share what your objections were? Is that application process, was it public?
It was
oh, yeah.
probably a record of the
yeah,
issues conference.
A record of the issues conference.
That would probably be the
yeah,
best thing
we
to
We could
read.
Share that.
It really comes down to, though, if you guys, you know, address any comments we generate,
mm-hmm.
there shouldn't, you know, when you meet 360 and apply to 360, we don't have those. But
yeah.
when you don't make that demonstration, we'll sit there and say, well,
right.
you know.
Yeah. I mean,
that becomes just on the applicant
so
to
it's
respond.
Not a clean,
yeah.
Yeah, it
yeah.
wasn't a clean
yeah.
hearing process. There was, you know, we still had many, many objections too. So,
yeah,
Oneida Herkimer may be
yeah.
a better
in
estimate
a,
on time.
I,
but it's in a different community.
Yeah, I looked up the timeline because they have a lot of information on their
yeah,
website. And I think from the time even it started kind of officially to the first cell opening was 10 years.
But
so.
But if you really dig into the Oneida Herkimer story, the bulk, and that's kind of what you're talking, the bulk of that time had to do with all of the things that don't have to do with specifically with permitting. It wasn't permitting that held it up. It was dealing with the public and siting and the public hearing process and the pushback. I mean, those things took...
Still took a couple
those
years.
Things,
yeah.
Those things took years. And now we're
right.
glad they did.
Yeah,
yeah. Can I mean, I just feel like it's kind of... It seems like it would be... it wouldn't need saying explicitly given this conversation, but I do think for the record it's important to state because out in the public and even within the offices of this building, both hearing it anecdotally and explicitly over time, there's an impression that because
this region has a reputation for being more difficult than other regions, that it just could never happen. And so I just wanted on the record that it's allowable under circumstances that are defined in 360, and there's nothing right now that you're saying that would say that we couldn't site a landfill in Ulster County. I think I just want to make sure that that's in the record, that there's nothing, that you're not here to tell us we can't do this.
No, because we don't, and we can't make determinations before we have an application here before us. What we do is we receive an application, we look at the proposal, and we look at the regulations that are associated with that application. And we work with permit applicants through that process.
Yeah. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Maybe taking this from the other direction, do we have an idea how long Seneca Meadows is going to be still operational, and has the DEC or the state governance started thinking about what we do if Seneca Meadows closes? Mm-hmm.
So the answer to your first question is no, we can't answer that. That's not a landfill that's within Region 3. We can certainly speak to the other region about answers to any questions about Seneca Meadows.
If you could find out, I mean, if we're going to lose that in 3 to 5 years, we need to know that.
The region wouldn't know, though. I mean, they're in the middle of litigation, correct? I mean, as far as I know, it's still
in the process, right?
The Court of Appeals, right? I think, and the one question I have, CLCPA versus the state constitution, those are two, the state constitution for clean air that was just passed recently, which I think is why Seneca, well, the department is a defendant in that case, as far as, and I could be wrong, there might have been changes, but that was really under the new state constitution of clean air, which is separate and a part of the CLCPA. Okay, you're not sure. Sorry.
That's what I read in press reports, Mark, is what you just said.
Just on behalf of the agency, we can't comment on it because we're not familiar with
Understood. Yeah, Tracy.
Just kind of building on a comment that Manna made earlier about our interest in self-reliance, I'm wondering, and it's not a region-specific question, but it is a DEC, it's a state question. I'm wondering what the state's take, if there's any active analysis of statewide available capacity in terms of landfills, and the idea of sort of building out that idea of capacity, knowing that basically all downstate is exporting from their regions, and much of our region is exporting from our region. What's the state's position and plan for the future of waste in the state if we don't have the capacity for 20, 30 years?
The best thing we can tell you is look at the new state solid waste management plan for the direction of the.
And what year was that?
May have just come out again last year, possibly.
Okay.
I think it was updated. Beyond waste, we're past beyond waste.
Beyond waste.
How often are the regs updated? Is it every 10 years, every 5 years, as needed?
As needed.
Yeah, Jim, the Beyond Waste was, I think, 2018. That's sort of the last one that's cited regularly, but I think there was a new one in 23.
Yeah, I think it just came out.
Yeah, I think it did too. What's the department's involvement, not necessarily just the region, but the department in the thought of diversion, you know, other than, you know, obviously you deal with permitting if somebody applies for something, but on the concept of diversion as just a concept, is the DEC involved? I know a lot of it is legislative from Albany, but is the department involved in identifying ways to divert in better ways and economical ways, environmental ways?
Again, I expect a lot of what the state's thoughts are in that solid waste management plan, the latest thoughts are. I have not read it yet.
Yeah.
I think you'll find a lot of what their thoughts are and how to divert waste. And obviously food waste is the newer thing, right? 2017 and things like that will be in that document.
Okay. Okay.
If we create a system to divert food waste, for example, does the DEC have to get involved in that? Is there, I mean, or I imagine you do, but how complicated would your would that become?
It depends on what you're proposing, depends on what level of regulation would be covered, whether it's a registration, whether it's exempt, or whether it be permitted.
One of the things.
Can I do a follow-up on that, please?
Oh, yeah.
I just want all of us to be clear that I'm hoping that it won't necessarily be a countywide system, that each municipality can do what makes sense for them, either compost on site or send it to the agency or use some of the private composting collectors and processors. I just want to put in that. No.
Yeah.
I was going to make a very similar point, which is just I think this body has come to a realization that our transfer station system is really working well and has a lot of benefits, including the potential for waste diversion at the local level that maybe we're not taking advantage of fully yet. And I wonder if you have any other examples that you know of a robust local transfer system that other transfer station system that other counties are using? Like, that is a question, and maybe people on this body would know also, but I just want to put it to you as the regulators, you know, that is something that we want to take more advantage of, to use more, and if there are examples or suggestions you guys have, we would love to know.
You know, I just want to say regarding that, in some cases it may not be feasible for the local, like,
right.
You know,
too
they don't
small,
produce
we
enough
know.
Food waste.
Yeah.
They can't run a compost operation there, right? So it's got to go to another location. So, and they each will, you know, certainly each municipality can come to us with different activities they want to do, and we'll see where it fits within the regs or registration or whatever the case may be, and hopefully be able to approve it. So.
What talking about composting operations, what's the level where needing a permit kicks in? I mean, I'm sure there's some that are, obviously a home backyard composter doesn't need a permit, but where is the line drawn between that and having an actual operation?
And you mean, sorry, you mean registration or permit,
right? Right.
Because
yeah.
There's
yeah.
a lower level.
Yeah.
I actually, I'm not up on the food waste criteria.
Okay.
This, the yard waste used to be 3 and 10.
Okay.
The registration 10, I haven't looked at it.
Okay.
Since the new regs came out.
Yeah, because if we're going to encourage local municipalities to start some of these systems themselves, it would help to know the background of, you know, where they're going to need either registration or permit or...
Yeah, and staff certainly have discussions with local municipalities in Ulster, too.
Mm-hmm.
They are reaching out. And staff that do that every day are talking to them about what their requirements are.
Okay.
I think we're moving away from the idea that we want to force individual towns to be on their own in these decisions. Like, we're really trying to look at this as a system-wide approach, and not to say that individual towns that want to expand a particular type of operation wouldn't be coming to you directly. Obviously, they would on the permitting, but more, is there a way that we can facilitate this in a broader way and provide support? You know, I think we're not going to see that kind of waste diversion at the local level unless there's really an approach from UCRA, from the county, that is supportive countywide.
Yeah, I mean, I would say we certainly can have more detailed discussions with the staff most familiar to discuss what the requirements were, if you want.
It might be great to, and this is just, you know, spitballing here, but to see an opportunity, you know, somewhere not too far down the road where we're calling on you guys to kind of get together with our towns in a joint session on, okay, you guys want to do composting at the local level, here it is, let's sit down with every transfer station at the same time, as opposed to having them come one-on-one with you,
yeah.
You know, to kind of handle it in a more economies of scale approach.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember, I mean, I went to a meeting as a supervisor maybe 3 years ago that you guys held in the New Paltz office, and it may have been about the new solid waste management plan, but it was a lot about composting, and I don't remember exact time frame of when it was, but it was one of those regional meetings where we all, and it was really well attended. There were haulers there, there were municipalities there, and a regional aspect like that is probably
helpful.
And they
would have done that before. That was done before. It is 2023 when it came out.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Laura, did you have?
Yeah, I'm just actually following up with something Controller Gallagher said. You know, that we do have home rule, and even though we have a very interesting network of municipalities that had gone and asked for a solid waste authority, the towns are really only held to DEC regs and their own town rules. You know, so if a town wanted to put in a composting facility or to start collecting brush, they would go to the DEC for either registration or, you know, most of them I think would want to stay away from a permit because it's just really intense and engineers have to be involved.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure as we're developing our report here, you know, if we want to involve everyone. I mean, the agency should only be involved if it's part of your contractual obligations as far as the recycling goes. But I'm always concerned about the overstepping, you know, and garbage has always been very controversial. There's money in it. You know, so I think the less hands in, the better.
If I could respond to that to just say, I'm really thinking more about what are the barriers for municipalities that if they want to do something at their facility, what are the barriers they're facing, and is there a way for the county to be involved? Because we have this contract with the agency, we're going to be paying a net service fee, and if small grants to municipalities to help them get registration or build out facilities,
okay. So
you see what I'm saying? It's more of a supportive rather than a directive.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I may, Mr. Chair, on the board, the RO, we're talking about, you know, carrots, not sticks.
Yes. Yes.
You know, bring people in cooperatively.
That would be a nice change.
And I did just want to say that the agency is the local solid waste management planning unit. Mm-hmm.
But each town is individual. They don't have to fall under. They don't fall under the. What's the word I'm looking for? Because the agency comes in and wants to do an inspection, basically they're overstepping, you know.
In our contracts, that we can do an inspection at any town transfer station.
To do for the recycling, but not to do the entire transfer station, not to look at their brush, not to look at
but
their food waste, not to look at
that.
Contract.
I don't think that's what it says on the contract.
Well, the DEC does inspections. I don't want to, I started to say annual, I don't know the time frame, but they do it. Inspections
and
of local transfer stations
once, so.
And regularly do. Yeah. I just had a. Are there other aspects of SEAKER, John, that you think would be, you know, really key to focus on for this type of review? Obviously, all the questions of SEAKER have to be addressed and answered, but are there ones that would be really, these are the really important focus ones?
Again, I think it's hard without a specific site. There's SEAKER's going to focus on what those primary impacts are, and that the impacts could be different, you know, depending on the site. I mean, there's always going to be the same, the traffic, the noise,
right,
the visual, but there's other ones that could be near a significant wetland system or threatened endangered species. There's going to be other components that we won't know until site is selected.
Understood.
I'm going to just throw out a crazy, talking about crazy questions. I'm going to just throw out a crazy, crazy question. Something that's come up over the years of being involved in this discussion has related to depleted quarries and potentially using depleted quarries as potential landfill. The idea that somehow the quarry begins with some natural lining and then filling in with actual barrier, whatever would be proposed, and then filling in the quarry. In fact, at one point we did a site visit to a site not in this county. Is this something that's ever come across even anecdotally to you all, and what are your thoughts on that?
Certainly UPRA has raised it before, and most recently up in Greene County. That concept is floated. It's a difficult concept, obviously, if you're dealing with a rock quarry.
I'm guessing the mine land reclamation permit would have to be satisfied. I can speak from where we converted a mine into solar in Rochester, and we had to change the whole reclamation plan of the mining plan before we could even start the solar, because originally the reclamation plan was to make it into agricultural pasture. So we had to first change that, then we could pursue the other. So it's going to add time. I just know from that one, from experience. Obviously, our change would not be anywhere near as big as the change you're proposing, but...
Well, I'm not other side.
Well, not proposing,
but... I just want it on the...
Putting out as a theory, put it that way. But I would assume it would be similar in that the mining permit would have to be resolved first. Yes. And John, I know you're very familiar with the mining permits.
Oh, yeah.
You and I dealt with each other
a lot on those.
So, yeah.
I would say beyond the mining and modifying a reclamation plan, I think Dave was stressing that there's probably more technical aspects of siting it in a former quarry that would have implications.
Well, it's good to hear, just because it is something that has been brought up.
It also depends on what they were mining, and a lot of limestone here in Ulster County.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The agency isn't considering that.
Just in the interest of time, is there anything else you guys want to add? And thank you, all three of you, for being here.
So
we really appreciate your comments. I think it's been really insightful and helpful, and really definitely appreciate the time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
I would say you have some questions that we're going to follow up with, and we're going to share some links to the regs, to some CPA that you can all look at. And again, we're available if after you've done some research, if you know, even before we have an official pre-app, if you want to bounce off, even if it's just through Dave and I, we have five sites we're kind of thinking about. We're happy to take a look at it and give it a kind of preliminary review if we see any red flags that make you want to just take that one off your list.
And any educational opportunities that, March, you raised, we're happy to be involved in that as well.
I have a few, a PowerPoint and a couple other documents that I want to share just for background information, so I'll send them to Kelly to share. And just to be sure you're aware, we are considering a reuse innovation center, and it's been back and forth whether that would be an executive legislative initiative or UCRRA and how to fund that. We have a draft that needs to be finished, zero waste implementation plan, and by way of education, I developed a PowerPoint that is about maximum waste diversion in Ulster County. And just for background information, nothing regulatory or anything else, but I think those are kind of valuable to
the
project.
Yeah,
we'd love to take a look at it.
I just want to ask one more education question. So in terms of, obviously, the DEC is the agency that's reviewing any permits, but because of that, are you allowed to participate in public meetings to, I don't want to use the words help sell a process, but to help educate the public in just factual, are you allowed to be a partner in any presentations that the legislature might give, or the UCRA, or is that something you're prohibited from because you're eventually going to be the reviewing agency?
So,
it may be a difficult question without specifics.
Because of the way you're asking it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm just trying to ask is, are you barred from helping present?
There's no specific bar.
Okay.
We would be limited in presenting on what our jurisdictional authority is.
Okay.
What is, and maybe in the beginning, it's
we were approached with five sites, and we determined that this would be DEC's permit jurisdiction on those five sites.
Okay.
Our opinions are not relevant. We could talk about what information we might need to make the application a complete application. So it would be a factual presentation.
Right.
And of course, our process allows for public input. And we have to make sure that that process is happening in accordance with our regulations.
Okay, and I appreciate the way you answered
partnership,
it.
Partnership,
yeah.
That's not something that our regs provide for.
Okay.
We're a regulatory agency.
Right.
We have to follow our law and our.
But you could appear at an informational meeting to give facts, at least. You're not specifically barred to participate.
Participant as opposed to partner. Like if OCRA arranges something like this, the DEC could be a participant.
You could invite us to it, and we would look at that invitation, see what kind of information you needed, and of course we are available to share information.
Okay.
Yes.
Just following up on that point, I think, you know, there's a big distinction between once we have identified certain sites and your authority versus the beforehand and getting the word out in the community that there is a regulatory agency that is going to hold us to standards and this is what they require and they have the public interest at heart. And I think that would be a very useful thing to do for Ulster County before any sites have been identified.
Right.
Like, there is this, you know,
robust
way to protect people.
Yeah.
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 And highlighting that role that you play.
Yeah.
That's good. This has been a very valuable kind of, you know, more process regulatory conversation, but I think one of the other sets of questions that we've had that might deal with the DEC is thinking about kind of bigger picture, and this goes to, you know, the state's solid waste management strategy and planning and our local one. You know, for years and many past plans, we've, you know, talked about maximizing diversion and recycling and more recently organics, but at the same time, and this is statewide, you know, we're looking at increased waste generation per capita, just kind of year over year, steadily, relentlessly. Is it the folks maybe in Albany who are doing kind of that solid waste planning for the state, because we're trying constantly, yes, we're going to try to do all these things to increase that diversion, but we're still, how do we then look at, you know, where are the technologies being evaluated for statewide? You know, is someone thinking about not just exporting our waste and prioritizing looking at technologies? And how might we best work with folks who are thinking about those kind of questions and issues at the state level in the discussion?
So you're already, I don't know if it's the agency that submitted or the county, but your solid waste management plan, you're already
right.
Working with those people who are trying to help you, or did, I don't know where you're at with your current plan, but that's those people that you deal with on that plan. Are out of our Albany office. We also, Ella Cattabiani is also part of that in the regional office, so we do have a regional component, but the leads out.
Because there just seems like kind of big picture when you look at kind of capacity, or landfill capacity, and then, you know, the volume, the tonnage that's exported, like, and just hearing you talk about when was the last time a landfill was permitted in the region? When was the last time, you know, a waste to energy plant was permitted in the state? You know, like, we're not keeping up, you know, with what we're generating. So just kind of thinking about, you know, where is the momentum, you know, from DEC, and how do we kind of talk about that and kind of tap into it?
Yeah, just to build on that, I mean, thank you for the reference to the new solid waste management plan, and I haven't read it yet either, but even just quick going through the focus area that has to do with design and operation of facilities, there, you know, you can do a word search, they're not addressing capacity on the state level in in that section of this plan, and it concerns me. It's not to you all specifically, but it concerns me because this problem that we've been talking about for more than 20 years here in Ulster County, and navigating the political, not the permitting, but navigating the political in Ulster County, isn't unique to Ulster County, right? So I don't know the tonnages that are being exported out of communities or out of districts, but it doesn't square with capacity. There's an intersection between current capacity and current exportation, and someone could run those numbers and extrapolate the year, and we're headed right toward, you know, that wall. So we've got to do something, all the while obviously prioritizing diversion and minimization. Right. But what Amanda talks about in terms of that per capita, you know, those are issues that are bigger than any one of us at this table. I mean, it's consumption issues related to a throwaway culture, things that are addressed in that plan, but related to throwaway culture. I mean, when I was a kid, right, I have clothes from when I was in high school, but now you buy clothes that are meant to like fall apart in 6 minutes, and then you buy more, and then you buy more, and then you buy more, and then you buy more. So again, it's a bigger problem, but I do feel like at the state level, someone's got to crunch those numbers, because we're all headed toward that wall where.
Yeah, and the fact that the per capita is going up is very concerning. And I again, I haven't looked at the plan. I'm surprised that it may not be in there, that information, but it's possible.
Yeah, it may.
But, you know, that's why we're
telling
me, you know, packaging's an issue, right? Mm-hmm. Too much packaging. All that stuff, I know that has got to be in that plan, saying we're trying to address those issues.
Yeah,
Mark, and then we'll wrap up here, so.
I just have one quick question. So the pre-application meetings for the landfills, is that the same for advanced technology?
Yeah.
It's the exact same process?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, once you kind of get to that point, it's the same. The landfills, you have that other component of doing the hydrogeologic study. I mean, you still have to find a site for the other facilities too.
Right.
But in the landfills case, that's much bigger, right? So it's a bigger lift.
And is it once a project is identified, like, let's say the agency decided they wanted to build a biogas plant. Now, would I come to the agency for pre-application before having that partner? Because I would want to go RFP it. Like, would it be even that early, or would it not? It would be after
I
that.
I wouldn't call that a pre-app.
Pre.
yeah, okay.
Pre-app.
So you would need to identify it.
We've certainly met with the agency and prospective people in the past.
Got it.
But we want those discussions to happen ahead
early,
of time.
Very early.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Tracy. One other request. You're going to get back to us, because we said through your partners, in terms of the last landfill permitting that. But can you do that similarly for, particularly in the region, the last alternative technology?
I have that question.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Really, any technology that people are using, because we have a lot of options ahead of us and a lot of big decisions to make. So,
and maybe not just limited to the region.
I mean, region, of course, focus, but statewide. And even if you happen to hear something nationally that's working, please let us know, because we're grappling with a big problem here, and we could use whatever guidance you can give us.
But I think Amanda hit it. It's not just Ulster County. Obviously, it's probably all 62 counties in New York are dealing with it. So.
Well, it's really impressive that we've come together as a group and are focused on this and are developing a plan to address it. Thank you.
Well, we hope so. So, with that, thank you. We've got a little bit of other business, but you're welcome. Probably 5 more minutes, but you're welcome to stay if you'd like. If not, thank you very much for your time.
Very nice.
We really appreciate it. And Kelly, I'll follow back up with you next week on stuff. Thank you.
Can I just ask the bound books of the regulation? Is that something that you just need for yourself?
I don't have enough for the staff of the region.
Okay, yeah.
They are.
They aren't doing that anymore.
I will tell you, when I was planning board chair, I printed out the seeker regs and bound one and had it made in New Paltz at the copy place, and I coveted, people would be like, can I get a copy? Like, no, that I made that myself.
could we get those though if we pitched in? And I wouldn't mind paying for one. If you could send me.
Well, we could.
Where you did it.
Well, all we have to do is print the regs and have them bound.
Thank
I mean,
you
it's
very
easy
nice to meet everyone. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so John,
thank
you. Nice to meet you.
Nice
we've
to meet
we've
you
talked
finally,
many
yes.
times. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
many,
thank
many
you.
Letters.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Take care, everyone.
Thank
you.
Care. So, two orders of business. First is, this is the last meeting we have scheduled, so we need to plan our June. I know Tracy said she's going away part of it. Do we want to stay with the Thursday 9:30s? Tuesdays aren't going to work for me moving on because I think I told all you I can say publicly I've taken a job with the Village of New Paltz as their planning and zoning director. So that's a Monday through Friday, but Tim Rogers has already said take off whatever you need to have these meetings. So
Is it the village or the town?
Village.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
so
I can't
think
make
solar.
Yeah. I can't make Thursday the 13th of June.
Okay.
And Thursday I think it's the 24th.
Okay. Do we want to go so to 20, do we want to go back to Fridays?
20th and 27th.
Oh, please, if we can stay Thursdays and avoid his.
Okay.
It works so much better.
Okay. For well, whatever people want to do. I know, Tracy, you're going to be away.
So just to give my schedule, I can mostly work with Thursdays. The 6th, next Thursday, I will be away and not able to Zoom. Just chaperoning a class trip out of even phone contact. But the 13th and the 20th, I'll be away and would like to Zoom in to the meeting.
Okay.
And I will provide an address and
so for next week, would Friday work for next week?
It would, but if the people don't want to work Fridays,
I class. Just have to be back home by 11.
Or Wednesday, is Wednesday work next week?
Wednesday doesn't work.
I'm
Friday.
Gone until
okay.
I get back.
Can we Friday do 9 o'clock on Fridays?
I work from home 9 o'clock on Fridays. Okay.
On next Friday.
Well, maybe for me, because Tracy's going to be gone on the 6th,
other,
and I'll be gone on the 13th and the 20th.
Okay. Man, could you do 9 o'clock on Fridays?
Yeah. I can, too.
So,
I can do every Friday.
So if we did every Friday in June, Amanda, does that work for you?
No, I have a 14 with other DEC folks on the 7th at 9 a.m., but I could do later that morning, 10 a.m. on the 7th.
I got to make sure that though.
Yeah, I'm thinking the mornings it's probably available, but it's hard to tell. Yeah, so
I could check with Michael now if you guys are going to decide on on every Friday.
If it's a Friday,
that's not happening.
That's not good for you. Okay.
No.
Are there some Thursdays and some Fridays? I know it's easier.
Well, it sounds like next week everybody except Amanda can make Friday.
I could join at 10 a.m., which
and I could meet I could cancel Thursday the 20th. The 13th I can't get out of, but I could get out of the 20th if we could meet.
Well, it sounds like Fridays aren't a problem for anybody except Amanda for the 7th.
Just the 7th, but it's only from 9 to 10. So
well,
go ahead and schedule
and
I'll join you.
And to throw a wrench in the works, but again, so Friday the 14th. 13th I could Zoom, Friday the 14th I can't.
Okay.
And Friday the 28th I'll be flying back, so I wouldn't be able to Zoom. So it's I mean you're always going to have
What do people want to do?
I mean, is there a totally alternate day that works for people?
I'm going to go check and make
Wednesday.
Have 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Friday, just to make sure.
Tuesdays are not going to be a good day for me because that's
work?
Mondays would work for me. Thursday or Friday seems to be the general consensus of people working. So if we did the 7th, and Amanda, you could just join us later. Or so if we did June 7th at 9 a.m. Or could we even stay with the 9:30 and then you'd only miss a half an hour?
A manna leave.
Well, that's manna.
Oh, you have to be back.
I have to be home by 11.
Okay. So if we did June, I mean, we could even do...
Can you do your meeting from here?
I don't know.
But then the 13th, you can't do it all, Jim, right?
So the 14th, yeah, so the 14th would have to, that's the Friday.
Yeah, and Tracy, you can do the 14th? You can't.
I don't think so. I think my daughter's last day of school. I think I have to, I'll find out what time, there's an event at school for the last day, but I don't know what time.
Do we want to just schedule, I mean, I hate to do it this way, but do we want to just get through next week and then next week do the rest of the month?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So... Can we say the 7th at 9 for now, and then we'll do the others next week? I want to try to, you know, make sure everybody as much as possible can be here, because obviously we're trying to wrap this up by the end of June. So.
And we've got now a good team. Everyone's working together.
Yeah. 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 And while we're waiting for Liz to come back, just a follow-up on I incorporated everything you commented on manna into the document, and that actually worked well just by doing it as notes. I was able to just see
it.
Yep. And then Jim, I incorporated what you put in. So I didn't do it for today because I knew we were going to have the DEC guests. So for next meeting, by Tuesday, I will get something out to everybody that's where it is as of right now. March is going to get me a section on the contract.
Yeah, will not be ready by Tuesday because I'm
away
all weekend.
That's okay, yeah. But we can fit that in. But I'll just get you where it stands for right now. And then I think now we're at the point where our next meetings are really just talking about through the document. And just there's a lot of things we've discussed that one or two people brought up, and maybe, you know, we need to discuss of what actually goes into the document. Yeah.
Two things I want to say. One is I really think we should adopt minutes today. We're very behind in adopting
our
minutes.
That's my next thing. I was waiting until Liz came
back. But the other thing is I think a really interesting point came out today in what Amanda and Tracy were saying with respect to the state solid waste management plan, capacity planning. We should use this opportunity to have a voice saying to Albany, you guys need to do a better job. And that should be in our report.
Yeah.
That they, you know, we're going to do what we can do here, but they need to look statewide. Mm-hmm. And I think that intergovernmental section should cover that.
Yeah, I was going to put that actually in our executive summary.
Yeah.
Really highlight it and also make it be one of our specific recommendations that the legislature lobby to whatever degree.
But it will require that we actually at least in a cursory manner look through that 500-page document that just got released.
Yeah.
Yeah, the state solid waste management plan.
Yeah.
I look forward to saying. To hear the regulators themselves haven't read it was kind of shocking to me. Honestly, I was like, wow.
I've skimmed it, but it's a skim at this point. It was just like going through online because I recently discovered that's how I knew the 2023 because I thought the 2018 was the last one, and then I found the 2023
and
the other day.
Incredibly detailed by a planning unit of what is being exported, and then they roll it up to the region. There's all these graphs, at least the old one, of what the imports and exports are to the region, and
slow-moving
freight train.
But they don't actually...
But I think we're all in agreement that by the end of June, we have to have our report because we want to be fair to the legislature, to the agency, with their time frames. You know, I feel like we're in good shape. I mean, and I think I've spoken to many of you individually where you all sort of feel the same way. And I think we've got a lot of good information. We don't want to make it to be the next volume of War and Peace, but we got a lot of information to at least get people to think about it. So, with that, we've got three sets of minutes. I thought
What did you guys decide on?
Yeah,
sorry?
We're just going to do, for now, we just scheduled June 7th at 9 a.m., and we're going to take it from there next week with the other ones. I thought we had done the
set.
We didn't. We didn't do the
10th. The
17th,
okay.
The 23rd. Just in terms of the minutes, I'm happy to move them, but I haven't gone through them in detail, so I will say with the caveat that I'll probably be coming back with changes to them.
Yeah, I caught a. I haven't looked at the 17th yet. I've looked at the 10th because I caught a few mistakes.
The audio's online, so I'm not so worried about minutes not being full audio.
Yeah. I would move to table them until we get a chance because the audio is online.
Okay.
Well, the 3rd, I thought we were all comfortable with, and the 10th last week, everybody, I had some questions, and I worked with Liz to fix those.
Yeah, I fixed them.
So
I thought it was the 17th.
So did they change from the ones that were sent? Because I'm okay moving it. I just have a deletion I'd like to make.
The ones that she just sent for this meeting,
they're all in the OneDrive.
That's what they are.
They're all the ones that are revised.
Yeah.
I changed them.
The 17th was the last meeting. I haven't looked at those yet. So I'd ask that we just table the 17th, but I'm okay with the 3rd and the
10th. Take no action.
We already did the 2nd.
Yeah, just take no action.
It's just the 10th, the 17th, and the 23rd. These three.
Oh, the 23rd is the one that I haven't read yet then.
Right, the 17th, and the 17th. You revised, and I did that one. And I don't think there was a problem with
that. So you want to just hold off till the next meeting?
Yes.
Or do we want to adopt?
Totally,
okay. Okay.
And I just want to suggest on the idea that the state needs to address the issues that are unaddressed. That can be a memorializing resolution.
Yeah, so we could make that. We can make that a recommendation to ask the legislature to do a memorializing resolution. That's a great idea, Manna.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. So we'll see everybody next Friday at 9:00.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
No problem. Man, I have to be back in Kingston for a 1 o'clock meeting, but I'd be happy to give you a ride home.
Oh, no.
I don't mind.
I'll go with Jim. It'll make me tight on 11, but
okay. I'm happy to do. I don't mind because I have an hour and a half to kill, so.
11:30.
Okay. Yeah, but if you were stuck, I'd be happy to. I don't mind.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe.